Hare Krishna. So we continue reading with the blessings of all the Vaishnavas. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila Chapter 4, Srimadavendra Puri's devotional service, starting from text 88, and then we'll chant responsively 93, which is on board. After taking rest, the deity must be awakened at the end of the day, and immediately some food and some water must be offered to him. The offering is called Baikali Bhoga, food offered at the end of the day. When it was advertised throughout the country that Lord Gopal had appeared atop Govardhan Hill, all the people from neighboring villages came to see the deity. One village after another was pleased to beg Madhavendra Puri to allot them one day to perform the Anakut ceremony. Thus, day after day, the Anakut ceremony was performed for some time. So there was a competition for the service. Srimadavendra Puri did not eat anything throughout the day, but at night after laying the deity down to rest, he took a milk preparation. The next morning, the rendering of service to the deity began again, and people from one village arrived with all kinds of food grains. And so text 93, translation prepared by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The inhabitants of the village brought to the deity of Gopal as much food grains, ghee, yogurt, and milk as they had in their village. Purport. Annagrita, dadhi, and dugdha are food grains, ghee, yogurt, and milk. Actually, these are the basis of all food. Yeah. Like cake, it's basically cream, and the base is made of grains, right? Can you imagine your life without cakes? Vegetables are and fruits are subsidiary. Hundreds and thousands of preparations can be made out of grains, vegetables, ghee, milk, and yogurt. And ice cream and shrikant. That's Sagar Swami addition to the purport. The food offered to Gopal in the Anakuta ceremony contained only these five ingredients. Only demoniac people are attracted to other types of food, which we will not even mention in this connection. Not to spoil anyone's appetite, right? We should understand that in order to prepare nutritious food, we require only grains, ghee, yogurt, and milk. We cannot offer anything else to the deity. The Vaishnava, the perfect human being, does not accept anything not offered to the deity. People are often frustrated with national food policies. But from the Vedic scripture, we find that if there are sufficient cows and grains, the entire food problem is solved. The Vaishyas, people engaged in agriculture and commerce, are therefore recommended in the Bhagavad Gita to produce grains and give protection to cows. Cows are the most important animal because they produce the miracle food, milk, from which we can prepare ghee and yogurt. The perfection of human civilization depends on Krishna consciousness, which recommends deity worship. Preparations made from vegetables, grains, milk, ghee, and yogurt are offered to the deity and then distributed. Here we can see the difference between the East and the West. The people who came to see the deity of Gopal brought all kinds of food to offer the deity. They brought all the food they had in stock, and they came before the deity not only to accept prasadam for themselves, but to distribute it to others. The Krishna consciousness movement vigorously approves this practice of preparing food, offering it to the deity and distributing it to the general population. This activity should be extended universally to stop sinful eating habits as well as other behavior befitting only demons. A demoniac civilization will never bring peace within the world. Since eating is the first necessity in human society, those engaged in solving the problems of preparing and distributing food should take lessons from Madhavendra Puri and execute the Annakoot ceremony. When the people take to eating only prasadam offered to the deity, all the demons will be turned into Vaishnavas. When the people are Krishna conscious, naturally the government will be so also. A Krishna conscious man is always a very liberal well-wisher of everyone. When such men head the government, the people will certainly be sinless. They will no longer be disturbing demons. It is then and then only that a peaceful condition can prevail in society. Hare Krishna. Annagrita dadhi duttha gramiyata chila gopalera giloka niyadarila. The inhabitants of the village brought to the deity of Gopal as much food grains, ghee, yogurt, and milk as they had in their village. So, we're continuing with the pastime, and it involves a lot of offering to the deity and a lot of discussions on prasadam topic, right? It's a very exciting topic. You can see that even mentioning the word prasadam makes everyone so happy, right? Like I remember last week, after the class, Gopinath Prabhu came to me and he said, Jai Krishna Prabhu was talking only about prasadam throughout the whole class. So, I hope I won't be boring you, because this class will be also talking about prasadam. It is eternal topic. And so, yeah, we can say that the motto of this text, and especially purport, Prabhupada's motto, is to turn all demons into devotees with prasadam. That's eating revolution. So, of course, it's a little dangerous topic to discuss, because if I happen to go a little bit over time, I'm risking to get cursed by devotees. Why are you stopping us from taking prasadam? Why are you only speaking about prasadam? We want practice. We're not satisfied with theories only, but anyway, we'll try. Not to torture you unnecessarily. So, yeah, prasadam is such an important topic, because when we take little survey, many devotees admit that they joined this movement because of prasadam. Even more devotees are staying in the movement because of prasadam. And there are cases of devotees unable to leave the movement because of prasadam. Especially in the very beginning of the movement, this was the case. When, you know, of course, American free kind of freedom in doing whatever feels good was a little bit mismatching with Prabhupada's strict standards, right? And so his early disciples were struggling to follow all the standards, even though they've tried, being so inspired by Srila Prabhupada. But then at some point, some of them were feeling, no, it's too much, and they would leave the temple. And normally not to kind of disturb anyone, they would leave at night, late at night, when everyone was taking rest, they would just disappear. And this is from where the term blooping came, right? Devotees were blooping. And, you know, not much splash, just little couple of bubbles, and that's it. And Prabhupada noticed that, and he decided to do something about it. And what he did, you know, Prabhupada was extremely creative, so he set a trap for those devotees who were trying to leave the temple. And you know what kind of trap he set up? Yes. He prepared a big pot full of gulab jamuns and placed it next to the door, next to the exit. And so the devotee, and you can imagine, you know, like prasadam prepared personally by Srila Prabhupada. It's beyond wildest imagination. Like His Holiness Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he was one of those fortunate people who enjoyed prasadam personally prepared by Srila Prabhupada. And one time Prabhupada gave him, can't remember whether samosas or kachoris. Anyway, kachoris, I think, because kachoris were the favorite of Srila Prabhupada. And he gave one kachori to Tamal Krishna Maharaj, said, try it and tell me what you think about it. So Maharaj tried, and he said, wow, Srila Prabhupada, it's unbelievable how tasty it is. What kind of recipe is that? And Prabhupada said, well, this is Mother Yashoda's personal recipe. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. You know, where is that cookbook with recipes from Mother Yashoda? So, it's another proof that Srila Prabhupada is the resident of the spiritual world. And so he was preparing all these amazing gulab jamuns and so putting them there. And so the devotee who was on his exit, he would see that pot and he would think, okay, I'm going to leave, so I won't be able to taste gulab jamuns again for quite a while, right? So before I go, at least I should have one gulab jamun. So he would try one, and then he would think, whoa, one is not a good number, right? It's an odd number. Should be even number. So two. But two is kind of, you know, three is much better, right? Jagannath Balladev Subhadra. So three. Then what about four, five, six, seven? And then devotee would stuff himself with gulab jamun so much that he would not even have strength to step out. So he would just lay next to the pot and go to sleep. And then before Mangalarati, you know, someone was, someone was given the responsibility to go and check if someone is sleeping next to the gulab jamun pot, wake him up and send him to Mangalarati. And so life was going on like that. So Prabhupada's prasadam program was extremely powerful. And so, yeah, that's why Prabhupada was calling, I think it was Prabhupada, right? Krishna consciousness, kitchen religion. Was it coming from Prabhupada? Yeah. Anyway, somehow Krishna consciousness became known as kitchen religion. And so, yes, prasadam is very important. My spiritual master says, because, you know, medical science confirms that all the cells in our bodies are renovated every 7 years, right? So, and cells of your body take the material from the food. That's why we say you are what you eat. And so basically speaking, if you take for 7 years prasadam only, you get spiritual body. Right? How many of you take prasadam only for minimum 7 years? Okay, quite a few. Congratulations, that's very good. It's like we might say, okay, I don't really feel like my body is spiritual, but it's consisting of prasadam, basically speaking, right? But don't tell about it to the tigers, because they might get excited with the prospect. But yeah, it's kind of, Krishna consciousness is a little bit mysterious in that sense. I often wondered, if you offer whole apple to the deity, and sometimes it can happen, did happen to me, and then you discover that there was actually a worm in the apple which you offered. What happens to the worm? Does he become spiritual also? Offered worm. Of course, when you bite that apple, it's always, more exciting to see the whole worm inside than the half of it. So that's why better to, cut them properly before offering. Anyway, that it's really amazing how attractive prasadam is, right? That there are so many forms of the Lord. And I think the first and foremost form of the Lord we can really feel deep separation from is prasadam, right? Especially when you do the fasting. You feel so much separation from prasadam. So, because prasadam is really make you happy. And so why prasadam makes you so happy? Any idea? Why prasadam makes devotees so happy? Yeah, because prasadam comes in touch with Krishna. Be honest and say why prasadam makes you happy. Fills your belly. But yeah, it's really not just about food, right? I don't know if anyone had experience of by mistake taking something which is not offered. And it really feels like dead food. It's like chewing on some cardboard or something, like so different from prasadam. Yeah, because prasadam is lively food, kind of full of life, full of spiritual energy. And it's Krishna's energy. It's ananda, because Krishna is ananda mayobhyasat. So this energy of bliss is entering into the food. And this is how we feel so happy. And of course, it also depends on the devotee who cooks and offers the food, especially cooking. I heard that if devotee is really cooking with love, Krishna is not even waiting for the preparation to be placed in front of him. He's just going to the kitchen and starts eating from the pots like that. And there are so many instances. And it's amazing how intoxicating prasadam can be. Like one time, one businessman, he was telling the devotees, "I want to learn to prepare the food the way you prepare. So I'll be sending my assistant, and you please let him into the kitchen and show him how you prepare everything." So devotees agreed, and so that assistant came, and they told him, you know, to be clean and be dressed in a clean way, etc., etc. So he was observing how devotees were preparing everything, and he was especially interested about the spices. He said, what is this, what is that, etc. And then after observing the devotees for a while, he said, I'm really sorry, but I cannot figure it out. At which stage of preparation you putting drug into the food? And devotees were saying there is no drug as such. But he said, it's unbelievable. How come that this food is so intoxicating? And devotees had to tell him that this is Krishna's energy. That the fact that it is offered to Krishna is creating this kind of effect. Yeah, because it's kind of, it is intoxication in a sense, but it is completely safe. And yeah, it's like sometimes it's unbelievable, especially if devotee is really like surrendering oneself to the process. What kind of prasadam comes out? It's beyond imagination. Very early in the development of the movement in Russia, devotees were holding the very first Ratha Yatra in the country, which happened in St. Petersburg. And many guests were invited, and so the feast would, you know, had to be prepared for at least like 1,000 people. But none of the Russian devotees knew how to prepare such a big feast. And so, especially for this occasion, one devotee was flown from all the way from Australia to cook this big feast, because only he knew how to do it. And so that devotee came, and at the time in Russia, because it was kind of just coming out from the underground times, and devotees would never wear, you know, like devotee dress in the public, would never put tilak, it was all undercover agents. But that devotee, and shaving heads like that, this was not typical at the time. But that devotee came from Australia, and he was like full on, you know, dhoti, kurta, chador, you know, clean shaved, with nice tilak on his forehead, you know, like classical Hare Krishna. And he, you know, in Russia at that time, there was a severe shortage of products, and they had to travel through so many markets and shops to get all the ingredients. They had to like spend full day shopping. And so he was going around all these markets trying to find something edible. And at that market, at one market, you know, a few like drunk guys started picking up on him, you know, making fun of him. What happened to you? Why are you dressed in a bedsheet? And what is that ponytail at your on your head, etc.? And so that devotee was cool, but the other devotee took an offense, and he was about to attack the drunks. You know, and the drunks, instead of attacking that devotee, they punched that Australian devotee in the face and ran away. And so this poor devotee ended up, you know, being all bruised. But he finished his service, he purchased all the products, and he came. And after that, he prepared a feast. And I came a little bit later from Ratha Yatra because I was assisting my spiritual master. And when I came to the place where the feast was held, in the field, next to one, you know, cottage. And I was surprised. I was thinking, what happened to the devotees? Because everybody seemed so drunk. Like, literally, they could barely stand on their feet. And everyone was smiling, like, you know, from ear to ear. And I couldn't understand what's happening here. And you know, devotees didn't have even like proper serving utensils. And so I remember they didn't have any, you know, pot, any big pot to place sweet rice in. So what they did, they purchased a baby's bathtub and, you know, filled it with sweet rice. They had to be very creative, right? And so I remember one devotee, and he's a bit chubby, you know, and he's standing next to this bathtub with a huge ladle in hand, and with the smile literally from one ear to another, you know, like so happy, and saying, you know, please come, there is so much sweet rice, you know, half seconds, half thirds, half as much as you want. And he was like swinging from side to side. And I was thinking, you know, he's really risking to, you know, fall into that tab, maybe, you know, into that sweet rice. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda, Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshmananaman, Shri Shri Gaur Nitai Ki Jai. And I couldn't figure out what's going on. And then I saw one of my godbrothers, and he was sitting on the balustrade, and he was telling the devotees some stories about Ratha Yatra, something what he saw his spiritual master did, or our spiritual master did. And he was like swinging, sitting on this balustrade and swinging to and fro like this. And I was thinking, he's swinging so hard, sitting on that balustrade, and he's really risking to fall off that balustrade. And as soon as I thought that, he swung back and fell off on his back, landed on his back. And I was thinking, oh my God, you know, he probably like broke his bones, injured himself pretty badly. And because he, you know, he was telling the story very ecstatically, and then he fell off. And then he landed on his back, and there was like a momentary pause like that. I was thinking, is he alive or dead? And then, believe it or not, he continued the story while lying on the ground. I was thinking, this is unbelievable. He never even noticed that he fell off. So, but anyway, after I took prasadam, same thing happened to me. And I realized, because that devotee, that Australian devotee, because he took so much austerity, you know, for the sake of preparing this feast, so, you know, Krishna really accepted the offering. And so just filled, you know, this prasadam with unlimited bliss, which devotees imbibed. So many interesting stories like that. And we are enjoying prasadam every day. And I mean, how fortunate we are, right? That there are different grades of food, right? And some foods are really special. Like some devotees, like Sutapa Prabhu here, have been to Buckingham Palace. I don't know if, you know, to meet the Queen. And I don't know if they serve any snacks there for the guests. They do? Something is there. So, and to go to the Queen's Palace and have royal food, that's like real landmark in someone's life, right? I've been to the palace. I've tasted royal food. That's really, really special. But what's happening in here? We're in Krishna's palace, and the food we're taking is not just royal, it's divine. It's God's personal food. But of course, the problem is that if it is just happening day in and out, we get familiar and we kind of tend to lose the appreciation for the fact what's happening with us, right? Living in God's personal palace and sharing his own food. But, it's a fact that we are so fortunate, and so many people are missing on this opportunity. And they're really suffering. And I can tell you one very quick story from Zurich. I don't know if many of you have been to Zurich, but our temple is near the central part of the city, and there is a lake, Zurich Lake. And, it's a very popular place. Many people go there, and devotees go there to do Harinam. And so we went, we've done our Harinam at the Zurich Lake, and then after Harinam, we went back to the van, started packing all the instruments, and then one young man runs to me and he says, "Are you Hare Krishna?" I said, "Yeah." "You have any of those cookies you distribute?" And I said, "No, unfortunately, we don't have any prasadam with us." And he said, "It's so pity, because 5 years ago, I met you in here, and I had some of your cookies, and I was hoping that this time you will also have some." Just imagine a man remembering the taste. How many of you remember the taste of cookies you tried 5 years ago, right? But he was, focused on those cookies for 5 years, starving to have this special Hare Krishna cookies, right? Why? I mean, in Zurich there is no shortage of cookies. But these were special cookies because these were Krishna's cookies, right? So this is how important prasadam is for people. And people do recognize that prasadam is not just a regular food, and it's really helpful. Anyway, Srila Prabhupada was also saying that prasadam is our secret weapon. And since we started talking about the cookies, I can tell you one more story from Russia, if you like to hear. One time we went to one city at the border with Poland to purchase a van for Sankirtan needs. And, in that town, the cars and vans were very cheap. But to register them and get number plates on them was very expensive. But in our place, it was really cheap to get the number plates. And so many people would do like that. They would purchase the car or van in that town, and they would drive without number plates to their home place and get the number plates there because it was very cheap. So we've decided to do the same thing, but we were warned by the local devotees that, police knows about it, that people trying to avoid extra expenses like that. And they put the checkpoints along the motorway and stopping everyone who is driving without number plates and, giving everyone big tickets. Or if you want to avoid big tickets, you have to pay them bribe. Police at the time was very liberally accepting bribes. Russia is still a little bit corrupt, but at those times it was unbelievably corrupt. So anyway, one devotee family we've stayed with at that town, they told us about it. And we said, okay, we'll try to preach to the police and try to avoid, paying extra as much as we can. But it was quite a long drive. We had to drive like 2 or 3 days back to our place because Russia is a big country. And then the lady of the house, she prepared, because we had to eat something along the way. She prepared a huge box that size of the box, full of butter cookies, you know, like butterscotch, but homemade. And so that was our staple. Something else we had, but, you know, we were like living on the on these butter cookies throughout the way. But it was a lot. I mean, there was no chance for two of us to finish this all. And so we were driving and we were dressed like that. And we kind of knew that police will be stopping us, so we mentally prepared, okay, we'll be preaching to them and telling we are monks and this van is not for our purposes, it's meant for public services, it's meant for God's service, so please make an exception. We're trying to save God's money here, right? It's not just our money. And so the very first checkpoint, we were stopped by the police, and then I went to talk to them, and the other devotee was sitting in the van. And when I came to them, something happened to me, you know, kind of my mood changed into kind of, you know, joking mood. And I said, thank you very much for stopping us. We are very happy to see you here. And we are monks. And we know that we are, you know, supposed to be fined for driving without number plates. And we're totally happy with that. We'll pay you as much as you want. And by that time, the police was like, you know, who are these guys? Normally people trying to get out of it, but they're like saying, yes, yes, please tell us how much do you want? How much money do you want? And they were like staring at me in disbelief. But then I said, there is only one little problem, that because we are monks, we're not allowed to touch money. So we have our own monks' currency. And we can pay you with that currency as much as you want. But this is very practical, very useful currency. And the policeman said, what is your currency? I said, cookies. Very nice butter cookies. Tell us how much cookies you want of us. And we can pay you. We have a lot. And the policeman looked at me. He said, get out of here with your cookies. We're not like waiting here for cookies. I said, but please, you know, and I nearly forced them to take, you know, few cookies. They said, okay, just go. And the same thing kind of happened at few other checkpoints. And then we got so excited. And, you know, it's like a long drive and not much to do. And one devotee is driving. So I'm reading Bhagavatam out loud for him and for myself. And it happened to the seventh canto, and somehow there is a purpose, one of number of purpose, where Srila Prabhupada says that our main purpose in Krishna consciousness movement is to chant Hare Krishna and feed everyone with Krishna prasadam, with no exceptions. Everyone should be getting Krishna prasadam. And we were like thinking, it is true. Then why should we only stop at those checkpoints who are trying to stop us? We should stop at every checkpoint and feed all the policemen with prasadam. And so, and he got excited. He said, yes, let's go for it. And then the next checkpoint. And you know, it's kind of, probably Paramatma was already telling them that the trouble is approaching, right? The trouble is coming. And so we would drive up slowly, and the police were like little tense looking at us. Who are these guys? And then we would stop, and we would jump out of the van with cookies and run towards them with cookies. And they would start panicking. They would start running away from us. And we would shout, don't worry, you know, we are not dangerous. We are monks. We just want to give you cookies. No, we don't want your cookies, please. Just go. But somehow we managed to feed most of them with cookies, so we really felt okay. We accomplished our mission. So we had a lot of fun, as well as butter cookies on the way. Yes, so Prasadam is really ecstatic. Shall we tell a little more? Unless you curse me or eat me up instead of prasadam. So there are three levels of prasadam. And first level is the one which is offered to the Lord, right? Just prepared and offered to the Lord directly. So this food is called prasadam. But then the second level is when the same food, after being offered to the Lord, is offered to the Lord's associates. In, for example, in Jagannath Puri, after offering food to the deities, they offer food to all the demigods, because these are the associates of the Lord. In our case, we offer the same food to Guru Parampara, right? Because these are the associates of the Lord in our case. And so, but then there is a third and topmost level of prasadam, and that is called Maha Maha Prasadam. Not only something which is offered to the Lord, and not even something offered to the Lord's associates, but something which was directly offered to the spiritual master. And so that is very special. The most valuable type of prasadam. And I heard one interesting story from my spiritual master from France, where he spent quite a bit of time. So Srila Prabhupada comes to France, and he came there, and devotees just had a regular program, but Prabhupada was not happy. He said, "Where are the influential people? Where are the famous people? Where are the scientists? Where are the politicians? Where are all these people? I came here to preach. You bring me all these people. I want to preach to them. Don't waste my time." Right? Prabhupada was pretty serious about it. And devotees got excited, and they just went out, and they extended invitations to all the prominent people in Paris, and they all came. Well, maybe not all, but many of them came to meet Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was very happy. He was sitting on a nice, you know, armchair. And the guests were sitting very nicely. They had very nice seats for the guests. And Prabhupada made a presentation on what Krishna consciousness is for them. And then at the end, devotees brought Srila Prabhupada a huge bowl filled with cut pieces of fruits, right? And then Prabhupada, you know how he was doing that, very elegantly took one piece and just popped it into his mouth and stepped out of the room, probably go to the bathroom or whatever. And all the disciples were there sitting on the floor, on the sides. And as soon as Srila Prabhupada stepped out, and there is this huge bowl of Maha Maha Prasadam sitting on the table, right? And they didn't think about it even for a second. They all jumped on this bowl, and this bowl actually went into the air, and all the fruit pieces were scattered all over the floor. But of course, it was Maha Maha Prasad from pure devotee, eternal associate of the Lord. So they started crawling on the floor, collecting these pieces and fighting with each other for these pieces and putting them in their mouth. And then, you know, the whole operation maybe took a minute or two maximum. You know, everything just happened in a blink of an eye. And then before Prabhupada came back, you know, the empty fruit bowl was sitting on the table, and all the devotees were sitting nicely in their original positions, as if nothing happened. And then Prabhupada came, and he sat in his chair, and he looked at the guests, and he said, So please, you heard my presentation. So now you please tell me what you think about this great Krishna consciousness movement. There was a dead silence from the audience. So we can imagine what these people thought, because all this was happening in front of their eyes, right? So, yeah, sometimes we have to learn to control our ecstasy for the sake of, you know, creating positive impression on people. And the most important point in this purport is actually that prasadam has the capacity of turning demons into devotees. And actually, if we think about it, there are no real demons in Kali Yuga, right? Like, you wouldn't find personalities like Ravana or Kamsa or Hiranyakashipu in this day and age. Those who really hate Krishna, who consider Krishna to be their enemies and trying to kill him, you can hardly find this kind of people in our day and age. Mostly these are kind of people who became victims of bad association, right? And then they start behaving in a demonic way. So these people are actually victims. And they behave themselves in such a way because they're not happy, right? And how do you make them happy? Prabhupada suggests a very simple thing. Just give them prasad. Then they will be happy. And they will turn from demons into devotees. And you can see how this process is taking place. You can see one specimen sitting in front of you. So, and there are many, many people whose lives have changed because of coming in touch with Krishna consciousness, and especially prasadam. And so I think our task could be, or even should be, what can we do to make sure that the whole world has abundance of prasadam, has full access to prasadam. And moreover, appreciates prasadam to such an extent that people would actually, you know, like, feel themselves very fortunate and even fight for the right to take prasadam. So, how do we make, in other words, the question is, how do we make people all around the world to value and appreciate prasadam as the greatest thing they can ever take in their lives? So, if somehow or other, because, you know, packaging is everything, right? That the most valuable thing in a lousy package, like Indian package, right, might not be very attractive. But something which is very cheap and might not be that valuable, but if the package is really good, then, you know, people will take it. So packaging, presenting is everything. And so we have the most valuable thing, Krishna consciousness. And one of very easily relatable item in Krishna consciousness is prasadam. So it's very important question. How do we package it, not just physically, but how do we present it to the people in such a way that they would become mad after prasadam? And resolve that, okay, I want only this food and nothing else. Yeah. So that's something to meditate upon. If you have any suggestions, you can share. Sutta Prabhu.
Thank you, Maharaj, for a wonderful class. I just wanted to share with the devotees, 2 days ago, Parashuram Prabhu and the Food for Life team have been doing prasadam distribution. Many, many people, thousands of people. So one lady, she came on Channel 4, like national television, and she had been getting prasadam, and she mentioned on national TV how the prasadam saved her life. So this was like literally 2 days ago. So I tried to play it. I don't know if it will work. I'll try.
At some point, really, I thought I was going to die. In fact, I'm shocked. I'm even seated here now.
Tabitha says when COVID started spreading within her care home, no one was prepared. She believes she became infected very quickly.
I couldn't breathe. I could not speak. Jackie, if you called me at that time, I could not have spoken to you for more than 10 seconds.
Tabitha spent 28 days off sick with COVID-19 symptoms, forced to rely on charity for help.
Well, Hare Krishna started bringing for me lunch every single day. And to be sincere, if it were not for that meal, if it were not for their charity, I would not also be seated here.
Since returning.
Haribo.
So it's amazing, just think it's amazing what the devotees are doing, like going out, giving prasadam, you know, whether people know it or not, they're thinking only on a physical level. Obviously we're talking about spiritual level, but it's such a wonderful activity, the devotees. So yeah. That was just one example.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I think, you know, in terms of suggestions, how to, you know, present prasadam in such a way that people really appreciate it, not just for the nutritional value, because, you know, nutritional food, there is so much nutritional food around, so what's so special about prasadam? How prasadam is standing out? Because prasadam is really changing people's consciousness. And somehow, if we highlight that point, that this food is, I don't know, maybe anti-stress food, or natural, what do you call it, antidepressant, you know, to relieve you from depression, or maybe love food, you know, or nice mood, you know, happiness food, something like that, then people will think, yes, I want to be happy, I want to become stress-free, I want to become free from depression, so let me have that food. At least, you know, one level higher from just physical level, you know, at least on the level of consciousness, if we promote prasadam like that, then it will be USP, right? Everyone knows what is USP? Unique selling point, yeah. I mean, we need to do that because Krishna consciousness, as Prabhupada said, is our family business, right? We need to figure out how to present it in exciting way.
So Maharaj, thanks for your class. We were in America sometime recently, and then we get the opportunity to see the visions of Prabhupada in creating farming communities all over the world. And he also said that at one point that when city lives is done away with, when they're closed, then people will turn to farming communities. So Prabhupada strategically was thinking that, you know, you keep building these communities because one day they will come.
Mm-hmm.
So I suppose Prabhupada had, again, that secret weapon, the prasadam. When they come, many demons will be turning to devotees.
Mm-hmm.
Because they'll be forced, not just we reaching out with outreach programs, but they will actually come. But they'll be forced to come because there'll be nothing else for them to eat, maybe. So Prabhupada has a vision also. We should also remember this, his vision to have these communities all over the world where, you know, we can produce our own things and then people can come in and take prasadam.
Yeah, offering Krishna pure products.
So maybe you could say something about that.
Yeah, offering Krishna pure products, and Gopinath Prabhu is pushing for the locally produced butter to be offered to the deities and everything cooked for the deities with the butter from Krishna's cows, from Gokulananda's cows. That's a very good initiative.
And Prabhupada's vision might be closer than we think in terms of city lives finished with.
Yeah.
It might be very close.
Sure. Yeah, definitely. After this pandemic, the reality of this world will definitely change 100%. And change for better in our terms. Okay. Yeah, and if someone feels like acute separation from prasadam, I don't want to hold anyone back, but those who want to share, you can do that.
I just wanted to say something about... There was so many things I wanted to say, actually. It's such an amazing conversation, but in view of that, we're going out today. We need to plant pumpkins, so if anyone can come and plant pumpkins. But also, Malati yesterday, she gave a really good conversation about this time when Prabhupada said that he would slit her throat for her, his throat for her, and she would slit his throat, her throat for him. And she was saying that she'd cooked a worm in his prasadam, and then she felt like, I don't want to cook anymore. I felt so like low. I shouldn't cook for Prabhupada. I'm making worms in his prasadam. He said, like, you're feeding me worms now? And then so she gave up. She was like, I'm not going to cook. I'll find someone else to do it. And then there was some Gaudiya Math there with Prabhupada, and she had to cook anyway. She realized, I have to do this. So then she went in the room with her sari completely over her head and crawling on her hands and knees with the prasadam like this. And because the Gaudiya Math were there, they were like, we shouldn't make Western Brahmins, especially not women, and why is that woman cooking? And Prabhupada said, you know, this woman, she would slit her throat for me, and I would slit her throat, my throat for him.
Arriba.
Yeah. And then, about another thing about the land is, there's one Prabhupada disciple who's been working on composting project to make nutrients into the soil so that there's no diseases and pests for the vegetables. He said he recently got accepted by Save the Children charity because they recognize that this way of producing food, it helps the mental health and the health of the children. So Save the Children are sponsoring a Prabhupada disciple to do this composting project. Yeah. So I thought that was really important.
Yeah, today, again, the same news surfaced, and it actually comes already twice in the news. Appears like there is a huge demand. British government gave out £16 million for free food distribution to anyone who is doing that. They can apply, and apparently, because this news keeps coming, apparently, you know, there is not enough recipients for the fund. So, probably, we have to check on this because, you know, like, say, Parashuram probably applied, but how much he can, utilize, how much funding he can utilize, there is a lot more.
Maybe we can use the Haveli.
Huh?
We have a big kitchen in the Haveli. Maybe we can use that.
Yeah. Something to meditate on. And yeah, planting pumpkin, Bhakta pumpkin, is waiting for you to, you know, help him to grow and be offered to Krishna. All right, so thank you all very much. Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Shri Bhagavat Prasadam ki jai, Gaur Premanande.